all of the praise. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and you reign in majesty, O Lord. We give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. We give you all of the praise. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and you reign in majesty, O Lord. We give you praise. Holy, wonderful, marvelous, glorious, omnipotent, righteous and mighty. We praise you, we lift you up, we magnify, we glorify, we exalt you, we adore you, we adore you, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and you reign in majesty, O Lord. We give you praise. Lord, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor. We give you all of the praise. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and you reign in majesty, O Lord. We give you praise. Holy, wonderful, marvelous, glorious, omnipotent, righteous and mighty. We praise you, we lift you up, we magnify, we glorify, we exalt you, we extol you, we adore you, hallelujah. Lord, you're worthy of all of the glory, and you reign in majesty, O Lord. We give you praise. All of the glory, and you reign in majesty, O Lord. We give you praise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You may be seated if you'd like.
And I lift my voice. We all stand this morning. Days left in 2018, almost on the eve of New Year's. I want to encourage you to come tonight, be a part of our special year-end service. It will be kind of like a candlelight service, but maybe in a little different way. It will be a service format, so I know a lot of times when we have just the individual sessions, it's a little bit more laid back, casual in atmosphere and attire, but tonight I want it to be special, and so I want you to come in your Sunday best and just with expectation, your heart and mind, and I just kind of give you a little precursor of what we're going to be doing in the midst of our candlelight services. We're going to be talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about it in a way that the Bible talks about God being consuming fire. There's many attributes of fire in relation to God and His work, but we want to talk about how that the fire of the Holy Ghost can consume the regrets, the things of 2018, but it can also light the way for 2019. So we're going to be incorporating that into our service tonight, and so we ask that you would come and be a part of that very special time together, beginning at 6 o'clock, and I encourage you in that. If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, turn in them with me to Genesis chapter number 22. We're talking about one of the, in my opinion, probably one of the most important aspects of our walk and relationship with God. And that is the discipline of worship. Of worship. One of the greatest examples of this that we find in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 22, the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And I know we've talked along these lines before, and I want to revisit this, and I really want us to, as we talk about closing out 2018 and entering into 2019, what I hope and what one of my prayers is, Lord, help me to understand more and participate more in what it means to truly worship you, to worship you. Genesis chapter number 22, begin reading in verse number 1, read down through verse number 14. It's rather lengthy, so I'll try to hurry on through and then I refer back to some of the verses in the teaching. And came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar, on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Notice, and I'll stop here, it's not the focus of this morning's teaching, but notice three times Abraham presents himself, first of all, to God. He says, Here I am. Isaac, his son, makes an inquiry, and Abraham says, Here I am. Angel speaks from heaven, voice comes, and Abraham once again says, Here I am. here I am. I'm here. I'm at your service. I am a servant here. I am for you. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven, verse 11, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm thankful for your word which teaches us, which reveals the great wonders, God, of your work in our lives, God, and what it means to truly worship. Lord, let us learn from this passage here this morning. Let us look into and study this example that we have in Scripture, that we would apply it to our lives, Lord, that we would truly consider what it means to worship you and endeavor with everything that is within us, God, to be people who truly worship you. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you. We give you glory and praise for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. The focus passage, if you will, out of that lengthy, you may be seated, portion that I read is found in verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. The fact that Abraham called what he was about to do worship is, in our mind and in our logical thinking, it's somewhat unbelievable that Abraham would have the kind of faith to say to the young men that were there, I and the lad are going to worship. We're going to go and worship. He had been told, as we read, by God to go and sacrifice Isaac, his only son, his promised son, upon the mountains of Moriah. And Abraham does so. What we really need to learn from this passage is that worship is a privilege, and that worship truly reveals the commitment of the believer. Just to come in and there's nothing wrong with praising, there's nothing wrong with coming in and clapping our hands and lifting our voice and being faithful to the house of God, and all those things are a part of what we do. But what it really and truly means to worship is a whole other level. It is much deeper than what many people may do on a week-in, week-out basis. To truly worship involves commitment. And in our daily lives and in our living in society and our interacting with people, we need to understand that what we do on a daily basis and how we live our lives on a daily basis can and should be a level of worship and dedication to God. Doing what we do, from an excellent and dedicated performance on the job, to caring for our families and other possessions that God has given to us, to church on Sunday, every action and motivation of our hearts should be at a level of worship. Not just tradition, not just going through the motions, but understanding that what we do is offering our lives as a living sacrifice unto God. To truly be men and women of worship. For worship is something, is more than just something we do to receive blessings from God. It is something that truly involves sacrifice. Where there is no sacrifice, there is no true worship. If I'm not having to sacrifice in doing what I am doing, then I really cannot call it worship. It might be praise, it might be acclamation, it might be other things and attributes that are okay, but if I truly want to understand the depth of what it means to worship, that involves sacrifice. That involves giving of ourselves. It requires obedience, demonstrating that worship is a whole life process, one that touches every action and every thought. Everything I do should spring forth from an attitude of worship. That I do what I do, I live how I live, and yes, it may seem sacrificial, but it's worship. It is worship unto God. Abraham demonstrated that worship is an act of trust, often performed in obedience to God's seemingly unreasonable callings and demands. Abraham leaned upon God's record of faithfulness and blessing, even in the face of God's command to sacrifice his only son. Abraham believed. Abraham trusted. Abraham was committed. We study and we look at the passage and look at the example in Scripture, and we can also study through historical evidence things that were a part of the world at that time. And in the ancient world in which Abraham lived, sacrifice to pagan gods was a regular part of worship. And although pagans in the ancient world might have offered sacrifices out of duty and obligation or to escape the wrath and judgment of their gods, Abraham offered sacrifices out of his sincere desire to please God. It wasn't about avoiding judgment. It was about a true and sincere desire to please Jehovah. Abraham's sacrifice was symbolic of his need for God and his goodness in his life. Abraham and what he did and the totality of the example that we have in his willingness to give his only son Isaac differs from the pagan sacrifices offered to God out of fear. Or because these gods needed to be placated in some way, Abraham did it out of an act of sincere worship, obedience, and trust to God. Was a sincere act of worship, proclaiming gratitude to the one who had called him, devotion to the one who was now his God, and submission to the plan of the one who would bring blessing to the world through him. Because remember, God told him that he would bless even the Gentiles through Abraham and his seed. So now Abraham is commissioned. Now Abraham is called upon by God to take his son, his only son Isaac, and to sacrifice him. But there are other examples that we have in Abraham's life that show a devotion, that show a commitment to God. Was this in some way, should we say, maybe the ultimate? Yes. But other things that Abraham did in his walk and in the example we have in Scripture reveal a dedication to God. From that day and age, in that pagan culture in which he lived, it was often done that when you would go from one region to the other or one area to another, you would go and you would worship the god of that region, or you would sacrifice to the god of that region, or if you were wanting a certain blessing or you wanted to placate something in your life, then you would offer unto that particular god. But Abraham, as he went and built altars throughout the regions and his life, did all of them to the one and living true God. He revealed a dedication to the one God who he served. The one who in his heart and mind was the only God. And Abraham's decision to build altars as he traveled from one location to another was symbolic of God's omnipresence, that he believed that God was God everywhere. And that he was the God of all gods. So when we look at the example in Abraham's life and the sacrifices that he was willing to make, yes, the ultimate, if you will, was the willingness to offer his only son. To take his boy, his promised son, the one that God had given unto him in his old age, the one whom it was foretold, his wife Sarah laughed. Can I now, at this age and in this time of life, can I now have children? It's almost comical. It's laughable. But God had performed the miracle and it had happened. And I want to look back at two verses in the passage where we read, because I think they reveal so much. Genesis 22, verse 2. This is what God tells Abraham. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." That's verse number 2. That's what God tells Abraham he is to do. Abraham, you're to take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and you're to offer him, upon one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. But then verse number 3 begins like this. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Ever there was a morning to sleep in. If ever there was a morning to procrastinate, to take your time going through the motions, to swing the axe or the hatchet ever so slowly to clave the wood, the Bible says that Abraham got up early in the morning. His obedience was immediate. Think about it. His obedience to what God had told him to do, and I doubt that Abraham was excited about the opportunity. Think about it. His only son, whom thou lovest, the Bible says, you're to take him and you're to sacrifice him. Well, can it wait? Come on, God, can you promise me seed through him? Can it wait till after he has children where I know the promise will perpetuate? Why now, God? Doesn't have a wife yet. How is it going to happen? And all of these questions probably ran through Abraham's mind. But even though there was questions, it did not stop him or did not delay him from acting immediately. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. What a sign, what a symbol of absolute obedience. That he didn't procrastinate, that he didn't wait till the evening and then say, well, let's now start our journey. No, the Bible says he got up in the morning and he got the wood together and he got two young men and said, hey, come on, let's get everything together. Surely, Abraham, nobody would have blamed you had you delayed the start. Nobody would have said anything against you had you decided to wait until the evening to begin the journey. Every moment would have mattered. Surely, it would have made more sense, but no. Oh, Abraham was obedient immediately, and he got up early in the morning. What a testament. Abraham's obedience. But also, it was a testament of Abraham's trust in God. What Abraham was willing to do, and the immediacy with which he was willing to do it, showed that Abraham trusted God with everything. Everything. Did he truly believe that God owned it all? He was all of God's, including his only son, Isaac. And I know this, and please understand where I'm coming from in this. The Bible says such things as in Jesus referring to he that hateth not his mother and his children is not worthy of me. That is not Jesus saying that we should hate them. That's not Jesus saying that we shouldn't love them. What he's saying is that you have to put them in their proper place. Now, as a father of three, I can preach about trust and I can talk about trust, but when it comes to my three kids, truly trusting God for their well-being and truly trusting God, I don't know what life has for them. I don't know what obstacles they'll face in life, but can I truly trust God enough to say, hey, God, they're yours, and I'm bringing them to your house, and I'm reading them your word, and I'm teaching them to pray because I trust you with them. Because you know how to better provide for them than I do. And so I trust you with them. And I realize that I have the blessing of having three healthy children. What about those that do not? What about those, and as I read stories and I see examples, man, it hurts my heart to know that parents have to look at children who are sickly. They're quite possibly going to leave this life before them, and they still trust God. Maybe it's just me, but I don't I'm just going to be real. I don't want to have to trust God to that level. Do we? Can we? It's an ultimate act of worship to truly trust God. That when I have a child that's not healed and still sick, and God blesses someone else and heals someone else's child, that I still trust Him. Wow. As we read the story today, we have the privilege of knowing the ending. Think about it. We know what the end result was. We know that God stopped Abraham before he plunged the knife. We know. Here's the thing. To truly understand that Abraham did not know the outcome, but still trusted God. Still believed God. He was obedient immediately. This is what the writer of Hebrews had to say about Abraham in the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, Abraham didn't even argue with God. Think about it. He didn't even say, well, God, hold on a second. You told me. You promised me that the seed would come from Isaac. You told me. It was what you said. God, you can't go back on your word. God, you can't now command me to go and take my son, my only son. Never do we find a place where Abraham argues with God. Simply obeys. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Wow. I tell you what, I look at this example and I see the story of Abraham, and I look at myself and say, man, I am falling so short because I don't know if I could do what he did. But Abraham's faith demonstrated that he trusted God. God would fulfill his promises even in the face of Isaac's possible death. The Bible says that he believed that God was able to raise him up. If I kill him, God will raise him up. If I do go through with it, and I'm going through with it. Listen, the Bible doesn't say. And I don't think when Abraham was plunging the knife, he was aiming for his thigh. I think he was aiming for his heart. Everything within Abraham was following through with what God had commanded him to do. What an act of obedience. Surely, the confusion he must have seen in his son Isaac's eyes. Surely, as his son is even making the inquiry, God, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham, even in that moment, says the Lord will preside himself a sacrifice. Listen, I don't know how all this is going to work out. I don't know the outcome, but I have enough faith to tell those that are down there, wait here a while. I and the lad are going yonder to worship, and we will come again. Even if God has to raise him up after I kill him, we're coming back. What a statement of faith. What a statement of trust. Although Abraham never actually sacrificed Isaac, his obedience and willingness to do so, his offering of his own desires and wishes. Listen, any self-respecting father would tell you, we'd rather plunge a knife into our own heart than into the heart of our children. Abraham is willing to give up. In our logical, analytical mind, we approach that scenario and we say things like this in our mind. I could never live with myself. If I did that, I could never live with myself. I would forever regret. But Abraham was, he laid all that on the line. He was willing to give all that up because his obedience grew out of faith and trust in God. He believed that God was even able to raise him up should he have plunged the knife and killed him. And so, yes, sacrifice, worship is about sacrifice. And yes, worship is about obedience. And yes, worship is about trust. But worship is also about action. Because Abraham had to connect the obedience and the trust to action. For faith without works is dead, being alone. And so he had to follow through. He couldn't get to the moment of truth. He couldn't get to where we call the rubber meets the road. He couldn't get to the place where Isaac was laid upon the wood. Look down at the confusion in his son's eyes as he raises the knife over his head. And surely Isaac thought, my dad's lost his mind. We don't know. The Bible doesn't give us any indication that Isaac struggled. We don't know exactly what took place. We only know that Abraham followed through. That Abraham acted upon his faith. That Abraham did what God had asked him to do. His obedience was immediate. His trust was absolute. Abraham believed God. And he followed through with his actions. And his actions left no doubt of his dedication to God. Look at what we read and what the angel said when he called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. I want to talk about a sense of relief. I want to talk about a weight being lifted. As you go to plunge that knife, you hear a voice from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. That moment of truth when I would have followed through, God let me go all the way to the point. He let my actions speak louder than my words. And at that moment, God intervened and said, now I know. Now I know, because you will not withhold your son, thine only son, from me. What an awesome example of true worship, of sacrifice, obedience, and trust that is played out in actions. The ultimate act of taking the knife, beginning to plunge it toward his son, and then hearing the voice, Abraham, Abraham. So when we think about these things and we think about what it means to worship, when we think about applying it to our lives and our day and our age, we must answer the question, why do we worship? Why do we have such trust and obedience and faith? Why do we act in the way that we do? Why do we worship? And I believe our reasons must be along the same lines as Abraham. We must truly believe God. We must truly love God with everything. We must truly trust God with everything. Deuteronomy 7 and 9 says this, now therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. We worship him because of who he is and that he does keep his promises. And we do believe that he will work it out. And we may not understand why God is asking us to do this or sacrifice this. We may not truly be able to wrap around our brain around the reasons why, but do we trust God enough to give it? See, God is a God of relationship. He's a God of covenant. He's a God of promises, keeping those promises, the Bible says, to 1,000 generations. David testified to God's greatness and His authority. He said this in Psalms 103, 15 through 19, "As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." God is a God who keeps His promises. Abraham had to believe that God would keep His promise, or he never would have done what he did. In addition to God's faithfulness and His sovereignty, one of the most beautiful attributes of all is God's unfailing love to us. His willingness to manifest Himself and provide Himself a sacrifice for us, the church of the living God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. To understand the ultimate that God was willing to do, the ultimate example that He was willing, through the man Christ Jesus, to give for you and I. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One of the reasons why we worship is found in that passage, because God loves us so, and we love Him, for He first loved us. And we understand that His love compels us to worship. His love calls us to dedicate our lives to Him. His love calls us to trust Him and to obey Him. That same Psalm 103, David captured some of the essence of God's faithful actions. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." These are just some of the many reasons why we worship. Then, how? How do we worship? How do we follow the example of Abraham? Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Luke 10:27, Jesus repeated the commandment from Deuteronomy, and He answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus' words call us to a holistic life of worship with our emotions, our very lives, our possessions, our physical bodies, to service unto God. To do as Abraham did, to act in obedience. Paul also picked up on this command in Hebrews 12:1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's reasonable because of what He's done for me. It's reasonable because what He was willing to do for me. It's reasonable because of the depth of His love. It's reasonable because of the depth of His commitment. It's reasonable. And yes, we worship with our whole being. And we also worship with our substance. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." We give of our time, our talents, and our treasure. Sacrificially, yes. Why? As an act of worship. because we trust Him. And let me just say this. You know, I don't often get along these lines, but if I'm really unwilling to sacrifice with my finances, it says I don't trust God with my finances. It simply says I trust myself better how to handle those things that God has placed me over. But on the other hand, if I'm willing to sacrifice and I'm willing to trust God in obedience, He's faithful. He's faithful. With our lives, with our substance, and also in our communities. Sacrifice, giving of ourselves to others. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The ways in which we worship, which we seldom consider, is when we are active in our communities and when we're reaching into the heart and lives of other people. Jesus said, and you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. When we are willing to reach out in our communities and we're willing to operate in our social circles and we're willing to reach into the hearts and lives of others that we have opportunity to be connected to, we are doing it as an act of worship. Not out of obligation, not because pastor tells me I need to, but out of a desire to truly have them connected to the one true and living God who is Jehovah Jireh, who provides for me and will provide for them. As seen in the life of Abraham, worship encompasses all of our lives. God calls us to live lives of obedience, and this often requires sacrifice. As we center our lives around who He is, what He's done, and in faith of what He will do. Abraham. The epitome of the phrase, put it all on the altar. Everything. Future. But Abraham remembered and served a faithful God. Abraham remembered that that child that was promised to him was now grown up and laying before him on an altar. Lord, give and you take away. Blessed be your name. Closing, you can stand to your feet. Giving of ourselves, the totality of who we are, our time, our talents, our treasures. It's worship. I do these things not out of obligation, not to placate a dreadful God. I don't do these things just to somehow escape judgment. I do these things because He's worthy. Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I worship you. Next few moments, the classes will be returning, but can we find a place to pray? Lord, help me. As 2018 closes out and new opportunities come my way in 2019, Lord, let it be a year of worship. Where I sacrifice more, where I give more of the cause into your kingdom, God, that I solidify more my commitment to you, that I learn to trust you more. That I act in immediate obedience, believing you. For the just shall live by faith. I trust you, God. I trust you.
This is my desire to honor you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take.
Lord, what would you have me do?
Every moment I'm away.
Example, would you have me give?
This is
what sacrifice
desire
must I be willing to make
to honor you?
Lord, you proved your love to me.
Lord, with all my heart,
you revealed in your ultimate sacrifice at Calvary how much you love me. I'm willing to give
within me.
I don't want to hold anything back.